The truth will set you free. Do you believe that? What we find in history, it depends upon how you define freedom. The people that were listening to Jesus right then and there in this text, the Israelites had a different definition of what it meant to be free. And they revealed that when they answered Jesus, "We're descendants of Abraham. We have never been," and notice what they said, "we have never been enslaved to anyone." Is that historically true? No. No, they were enslaved in the Babylonian captivity, and that was not a short sentence. That was many, many years. And the city of Jerusalem had been held captive by different armies over the years, and that was not easy. Yeah, they were safe inside the walls, but they couldn't go anywhere. And in that way, they were trapped. But they were also enslaved to their own sinful nature. They rewrote God's law to fit what they thought it should mean. And then they enslaved themselves to that law because they thought fulfilling the law was what would set them free. You know what it's like to try and keep all the rules? Is it easy? No. Do you feel free or do you feel under pressure? The Israelites were in denial, and Jesus offers them the truth. They thought they had the truth. Promise given to Abraham. They would be a great nation. The land belongs to them. The temple, you know, is God's presence, and he will always be there. And they are God's chosen. They thought they had all the particulars of the truth. But they missed that the kingdom of God is not tied to the things of this world. They missed that the kingdom of God is not valued by the ways of the world. They miss that being people of God is about discipleship and not bloodline. It is about faithfulness to the word, not name tags and party lines and all of the things between the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians and all the groups. It was about faithfulness according to the word. Martin Luther, be appropriate to quote him today, right? On this 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Martin Luther wrote about many portions of Scripture, and he wrote this about today's text. "It is a disappointing price that Christ asked of those who were beginning to believe in him and were saying, 'We will remain loyal to you even at the risk of life and limb.' Christ looks askance at them and says, 'Yes, indeed. If your faith in me were only genuine and sincere, but it seems to me that you will not remain faithful to me.' And now Christ begins to speak about the true and the false disciples of his divine word. Many hear the gospel and remain with it for all kinds of reasons, utilitarian reasons. They reap money and goods and honor. My dear friends, who would not like that? And for this reason I state, if you continue in my word and doctrine, you are truly my disciples. For I have two types of disciples. One group believes in me. They praise and hear the gospel and say, 'This is the real truth.' I regard them as great and fine Christians. It is all a matter of continuing. Then there are others who hear it. But when the battle grows hot, they declare, 'Upon my soul, should I forsake this or that for the sake of the gospel? though there are few who remain true to the gospel in the face of the cross and persecution. Where can one find those who are constant? Therefore I say that if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. If my doctrine pleases you, you are well schooled and know everything. And if you persevere in the doctrine through the cross and suffering, then you are my disciples. But my doctrine demands more than just initial acceptance and much praise. I know that it is easy to believe in the beginning, but where are those who remain steadfast, who persevere, endure, and say, let come whatever God send me. If I am not to be well, then I am satisfied to be sick. If I am not to be rich, then I shall be content to remain poor. Whether I live or die, I shall remain with Christ. People would gladly believe in Christ if this could make them lords or confer kingdoms on them. But if it involves suffering, they will have no part of it, and faith is finished. Therefore, Christ declares, I am sure that you will not adhere to my doctrine. Fidelity to Christ's doctrine is rare, especially when people encounter an evil wind. To be sure, many become Christians and hold firmly to the gospel at first, but then they abandon it, like these fellows in today's text. This is also reflected in the parable of the gospel about the seed that fell on the rock, as recorded in St. Luke chapter 8. When the sun beat down upon it, it withered away. But those who stick to the gospel are true disciples. The others are false Christians, false brothers. The challenge for us in everyday life is to figure out, based on God's word, what does it mean to be free? I made a list of how it's currently defined. Children. To be free means no school, no homework, no test. Teens, free to be who I think I am. Free to do what I want to do. Free to live the way I want to live. Free from parents and rules. Young adults, it's more about what I want and how I want it and when I want it. Freedom is about escaping the rules. Freedom is claiming independence from civil law and consequences. And freedom includes spending my parents' money. Adults, free to consider myself more important than most people. Free to figure out which rules I have to keep and don't keep. Free which rules apply to me and which rules don't because of who I am and what I mean. Free to change the methods, to change the procedures when they don't make sense to me. Free to take advantage of others. After all, I am important. How do we define free? Our world in the news just showed you whose life matters. But it isn't the unborn. It's very selective, isn't it? Denial of slavery is a denial of sin. According to our sinful nature, we are not free. We have trouble with our passions. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have tried to diet and failed? How many of you said, well, I will not eat carbs, and you drive by a McDonald's? That's my weakness. And it goes, it called me. You know, how many times, and on we have our list of those things that we say, I will not do, and we do them. And even the scripture tells us that is our nature. The Bible says, that which I don't want to do, I do. And that which I want to do, I don't. Yeah, we're between a rock and a hard place, and we recognize that we are not free. We're like the bird that says, oh, it looks so good in here, and we get inside, and then we decide, hey, it's not that great, oh, and out. And that's the way it is with the gospel. We like the talk of love, and we like the talk of truth, and we like the talk about whatever it is called hope. But then when it comes to walking faithfully, to serving, to doing those things that honor Christ instead of self, we bail. We jump ship. We give up. And the Jews, the Israelites in the days of Christ on earth, they had enslaved themselves to the law. In the days of Rome, yes, Roman rule, the government, Caesar and all, they too had enslaved people to follow the rules. The Herodians, they thought they could play both ways, but they were still entrapped in the dynamics of the day. Rulers, kings, governments, they all try to maintain power. But this is the truth that we come to know. It is interesting. What seemed so smart led to failure. You ever had that happen? Well, I was sure this would work. It didn't. And then what seemed so powerful, you ended up weaker. Isn't it amazing how the flesh enslaves us? Christ says you will be free. And what does that mean? God's truth sets you free. That's true. The Bible says so. And this is what it means. It is death to life. For the kingdom of God is real life. And real life is only found in Him. It is from being lost to being found, to be called children of God. It is from dark into light. It is from ignorant into truth. It is from being condemned to now being restored by the grace of God. It is from hopelessness to hope filled. And the biggest of all, it is from being temporary to eternal. Freedom is the power of the gospel to grant. And it's the only freedom that counts. The mission of the church is not to proclaim its own authority, but it is to proclaim the gospel, which is the ultimate authority about salvation and about freedom of living and being alive in Christ, now and forever. There are times we look at our lives and we say, I don't feel free at all. And the question is, how do we define enslaved? If it's the speed limit when we like to go faster, if it's the line because we want to be first and we don't want to wait our turn, if it's the price of things and we want it all free, yes, indeed, according to the worldly ways, we are not free. But if it's God's grace, that's free. It's been paid for. If it's forgiveness, that too is there. If it is eternal hope, that is provided. And if it's an eternal residence, you have that too. Free, Jesus said, right? If you believe in me, if you're in the word by the power of the faith that's given you, you are free indeed. Amen.